I tell you that the Jesus, the manifester of your healing, of your body, is present in this house through the camera. Spirits of infirmity have been released against the body. It's beyond natural causes. It's a realm of warfare. But right now I see Jesus, the manifester of your healing. So right now, just put your hand, whoever you are in here or out there, on your own body. And if you can, place it in the proximity, as modest as possible. Jesus, I'm about to release your glory. Limit your faith to this moment in time. Limit your faith. Bring it into subjection to the healer. So right now, I release Jesus on you. I release Jesus in you. The manifestation of your healing right now, be made whole. I command those things changed in the name of Jesus. Be healed. Every symptom, cancer, disease, nodules, lumps, hypertension, every symptom of stroke, heart disease. I release the healer to you now, the manifester Holy Ghost, the finger of God. The Holy Ghost, the finger of God, enter your body now. In Jesus' name, be restored, be healed, be created. What is lacking be renewed in the name of Jesus. The manifester, the creator, create Jesus. Create Jesus. Create Jesus. Create Jesus. I command ears to open up. Deaf spirits, I command you to go in the name of Jesus. Natural things, I command you changed. Eardrums, be restored. In Jesus' name. Jesus. Jesus. Malahel oka odese ha chin mandekedeti. Some are feeling a warmth, that part of your body. Whether you do or don't, it doesn't matter to Him. He's just signaling that some of you are. Jesus, the manifester. Arise with healing in your wings, Lord. Arise with healing in your wings, Lord. Jesus, the finger of God. He hasn't sent an angel to heal you. There are no healing angels. Only one, the finger of God, which is the Holy Ghost. Angels have not come to heal anyone. The finger of God is the Holy Ghost. He's the manifester. Jesus. 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 Palakalon de sitiatos. Mande keresili. Release your virtue. Prostate cancer. For the precancerous readings, I command in Jesus' name, and Jesus now puts His finger upon you, the Holy Ghost, you are healed. Breast cancer or any lumps being dissolved in the name of Jesus. Women, be healed in your bodies. Sole hala sotene. The manifester. He manifests Himself in Jesus' name. The finger of God, the Holy Ghost. That young lady with continuous seizures, command you in the name of Jesus. Seizures come out of her body. That 19-year-old, seizures. Come out of her body. Trouble her no more. Brain be healed. Jesus, the finger of God, the finger of God, the finger of God. The manifester. Jesus. Jesus. High and lifted up, Lord. You don't want a sick church. Headaches, we tell you, go in the name of Jesus. You're not welcome. Chronic migraines, your foolishness before the Lord. Stripes. Irritable bowel syndrome, digestive problems. Infirmities, spirits of infirmities, imps of hell, diverting the saints from the assignment. You're cast out of this region. You're cast out of the bodies, off the bodies, out of the bodies. Maya kolokare sediata. Boneba atkier olimens ediata. Jesus. The healing power of your Spirit. The finger of God, the Holy Ghost, the finger of God. Jesus. Palahale sediata. Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you, as you already are, lift your hands and worship the Lord for His virtue and His healing power. The mighty name of Jesus, the mighty Holy Ghost. We worship You, Father. We praise and magnify You. We praise and magnify You, Jesus. All the glory, all the glory, all the glory. We magnify You. Worship You, Jesus. Hallelujah. And glorify You, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. And all the glory to God. Appreciate everybody that's here and those that are watching. So stay with us. We'll give you a few minutes. Why don't you greet somebody? And we've already had service, but we've got more service coming, so don't leave. Hallelujah. Bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. We want to say for those that are watching, we apologize that we're not able to put the words up over the last couple of services, and it may be one or two more. Hopefully, maybe this will be the last, but it may be Wednesday. We have a computer that we're having to replace some parts or get some parts for the one that we were using. So it's kind of in remission right now. So be patient, but we will be back on board soon. So those of you that need words and like and appreciate words, and I think we all do, it's really a very added part of the ministry. We're glad for those who do that and the beautiful young ladies in the back that are part of that. So hallelujah. Amen. Well, I think we've already had church. I'll tell you, there was a presence came through. Please express to others. You don't have to see me, or you don't have to obviously fabricate anything ever, but if you received something, it's always important that you vocalize that and tell someone. Some people sometimes receive something from the Lord, and it really is a manifestation of His healing power. And the first place is to give thanks to the Lord for it, but then share your testimony, because it gives weight, gives authority, gives power to what has taken place, and it gives glory to God. And it also allows you to hear yourself saying, I received something. And so I know He was doing that. The Holy Spirit was doing something very powerful, and we appreciate. Hallelujah. That's so much. Well, I always go back to Pastor Dave teaching us that giving was a form of worship. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there that are searching for what you and I have. They haven't found it. I was searching when I found this. I had been saved from the time I was 11, filled with the Holy Ghost at 12. And I grew up in Pentecost. I grew up, and I understood about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but this was a totally different walk. Absolutely. When somebody began to teach me deliberately how to walk into God, it was the greatest day of my life. And I'd already went to Bible college. I'd already sat under a number of men that had PhDs, absolutely brilliant men. They could speak Hebrew. They could speak Greek. They could write it. And they weren't Hebrew or they weren't Greek. They were just brilliant. And they loved the Lord. But nobody has taught me what the Holy Spirit has taught me. And there are people that are looking for this walk. They're looking for what we have. And I'm so grateful to be a giver on this. I give with you. And so we do what we do because we're so grateful. We're grateful. And we're grateful for what the Holy Spirit has given us. And we want others to have it as well. We want this message to be broadcast. And you're helping us. Those of you that are sending in things and you're helping here. Well, what can a little church possibly have need of? Well, just like your little business, you have no idea. Well, I watch you on YouTube. YouTube is free. I know, but our streaming is not free. We pay a bunch of money for you to watch it live. And you're helping with that. And that's only one of probably 10 hidden things that causes a ministry to go forth. Somebody said, well, YouTube's free. You get to... No, no. You don't understand. There's a streaming company that we have to broadcast through so you can watch it live. And when you're sending money in and when you're paying, and then we have monthly... You know, the monthly, you've got to have an upgrade of your internet. Can't be like what your home internet is. It has to be a business internet. So when you're giving, you're causing a lot more than just us to be able to see and be provided with this gospel. Hallelujah. So I only say that to say, I want you to understand what you're giving for. It's not just to keep the lights on. That's one thing. But it's to broadcast this gospel. And thank you so much, all of you that are giving in here and all of those that are giving out there. We appreciate it so much. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray. I'm going to give you an opportunity to give. And then we'll have our kids dismissed. Hallelujah. Father, we worship you and we give you all the praise and glory. Your kingdom come and your will be done. And we ask you now to touch and continue to touch the hearts of the givers. Cause them to be manifest in your grace to be able, Lord, to receive from you personally so that all that they have need of is supplied. And then from that, Father, we thank you that gracious and good gifts continue to flow into this house. And we give you all the praise and glory. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. For those that are watching, our family and those that are in here, help us to take another step towards grace. This kind of grace that takes us in beyond the veil. We give you all the praise. Thank you for the Holy Ghost, Father. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. We bless and give you all the praise and glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Homer did another wonderful job on Wednesday night. It was so good. Praise God. We're going to go ahead and pass those handouts out. This is a prophecy that came last Sunday. I know you're going to be tempted to start going through it. That's okay. But I'll let you look at it for a second and then we'll call attention to everything up front. According to the clock on the wall that has not been changed, it's time for me to quit or stop the service. But even if that was true, it would not be true. I've been up for days, it feels like. I got up at 4:30, which that's not really too unusual, but then I got up, you know, coffee made, bathroom break, coffee, you know. then I get in that secret place or that place of prayer, and I realize that I got up at 3:30 instead of 4:30. I did not do what I told you to do, set your clocks and change. So I've been up for days, and I've been waiting for hours for this service to start. I was like, man, when I'm Jones, and when is the service going to start? It's hallelujah. Well, 9 o'clock, you know, it's, how many remember C.B. Hadley? Do you, any of you guys been around here long enough, you remember C.B.? Yeah. Old guy that come here, and cowboy. I'd be praying over here and he'd knock on my door. C.B. had a bunch of cows out here, and then he was raised as a cattleman, and his papa raised him, his grandpa raised him. They were, you know, cattle people, like early, like farmers. And he'd sit out there and talk to me, and he'd said, you know, when I was a boy growing up, he said, my grandpa, I don't know if it was his grandpa's daddy or uncle, he said, we'd be at the cow camp working cattle. And he said, they'd get me up about 3:30, 4 o'clock and say, boy, let's get going. He said, there's just a little bit of daylight left to get this day done. So let's get up and get going. There's not much left of this day. Of course, that was early starters back then. So, but they went to bed early too, about the time the sun went down. So if I was to sleep till 9 o'clock, I'd probably just go right back to bed and say, my God, this day's finished. There's not much left of it. I'll get a good early start in the morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So everybody's got one of these, right? No? Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. Okay. I can have, yeah. And somebody, listen, here's the deal. Also, those that you're watching, this is on our website, and you go, most of you know how to find. In fact, I should have cued you on this right to start with. So, yeah, I think we're going to. Were those from people that gave up theirs? And, no. Oh, you're sharing. Okay, we got enough then. Yeah. And you've got some of you, real quick, just go to, you know, our website and go to the prophecies. And it's the last prophecy so far of this year. How many can believe this is the first Sunday in first Sunday service here in November? It's almost over with, isn't it, Renee? It's almost over with. So don't forget, if you haven't already, please, I encourage you to vote. Maybe you already have early voting. Okay, great, great. So vote. Pray. We've instructed you as best we can without going over our proper place. I will say there was something I read after service to just you last week concerning a candidate in our local race for our board of education. And I said this is from a PAC. I can't verify it. I just was going to give you more information. Since then, we found out some of you won't even remember who that person was, but I just want to, for my conscience, say I found out more through investigation that more of that was propaganda. So if you want to see me afterwards, but then I found out from somebody that we can really trust that that probably was not the right person to vote for anyway. So if that all makes sense, if it doesn't, come see me afterwards. But that only pertains to Collier County School Board. If you live in any other county, don't see me afterwards. Okay. Hallelujah. So we're going to read this, and we're going to, the title of this prophecy is All Things Are Found in Me, So Spend the Time. I request, or it's kind of been an ongoing thing that Sarah puts the titles to the prophecies because she normally types them out. Now this week she did have help from someone that's very special to us in Tulsa. They were very ambitious and got this typed out, but then Sarah went through and did whatever Sarah does. But she, I said, put a title on it. And she goes, okay, I'll put a title on it, but I'm kind of running out of titles to say, you need to pray. I said, I know. I don't know how many different ways can he say it. And she's like, you know, I'm very creative, but I'm just running, you know, I don't know how much more I got. So, but I thought she did a good job on this, and we're gonna read through this and comment as the Holy Spirit leads us. I'll remind you again and again, says the Spirit of the Lord. First, that I love you beyond all words that can say. Let me just stop right there. I'm not even through the first sentence. Whenever he says, whenever the Holy Spirit begins to say, I love you, I go, oh no. I go, there's an oh no on the inside of me because he's about to set you up. It's like a father that's going to tell you, or a mother that's going to tell you how wonderful you are just before they bring correction. So, I'll remind you again and again, says the Spirit of the Lord. First, that I love you beyond all words that can say. That love that you felt at the beginning when you were born into the kingdom, and the mercy and the grace and the unconditional love, is just as strong on the other side of the door as it was in preface to the door. So that you know that I'm always bearing with you and working with you in great patience and long suffering to bring you to a place that you've never been before, says the Spirit of the Lord. Now, again, through the camera and to the congregation and to the family in here and to the family there, I will remind you, I think this is proper, that you are here because we're of a like vision. Okay. I'm not calling us special beyond all Christians. I'm just saying we're of a like vision. This is who we are. We are, it's a term, we are revivalist, or we're seeking the kingdom of God in fullness, however you want to say it. We want something that resembles in exactness Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, the works of Christ. However, I don't care. Terms doesn't matter. But here's what we're after. We're after the fullness of the stature of Christ in us. The fullness of the stature. I'll remind you again that you're here on your own elective. You're watching on your own elective. You're seated here on your own elective. Some of you may not be fired up about the revival message. I've said over and over again, you can sit among us. You don't have to be fired up. As far as I want revival, you can sit among us. Now, if you're going to sit among us, don't contend with us. In other words, don't argue this message. Go find someplace else if you want to argue it, because this is all we're going to ever offer. So don't cause confusion. Go someplace else. But here's the deal. You're here. The big part of you are here for the purpose of going into the fullness of everything that Christ is to you, in you, and then through you. You want that. And I'll remind you, you could live for Him on a lesser walk. In other words, not a lesser walk in morality or following the dictates of the new nature, but it wasn't a requirement out of His Word that you became a cutting-edge revivalist to make heaven. The bigger part of this message is on the other side of that. The bigger part of this message is teaching you and I to go to a place. I'll just tell you, now, I'm not asking you to take false responsibility, but I get emails from people. A lady, this is her second or third time that she's emailed, and we've prayed, and you've prayed, I think. She has a daughter named Ava. She may be listening. 19-year-old. You heard me call that out today. That was not word of knowledge. That was previous knowledge. But the whole thing was Christ. And she has often, two or three times a month, like grandma type seizures that last two or three minutes. Have you ever seen that? They're, you think the person is actually going to die. And she loves the Lord, this lady. She's on this walk. She's following this ministry in Tulsa. She's not complaining. She's not acting pitiful. She's just really basically saying, I'm beyond. This is beyond me right now where I'm at. And she's presenting her daughter as the man in Matthew 17 presented his son to the disciples and said, can you do anything? Well, I don't know about you, but things like that call me out in the street. They call me out in the street. And we're not asking you to come here so we can lay a burden on you that you don't want. But here's the burden that if you want it, there is a comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, but he's also the manifester of all the works and words of Jesus. See, you can take this, I don't know how far we'll get in this prophecy. You can take this best revelation that I can preach, the best, and it can wow you, and it can tingle your senses. But as Pastor Dave used to say, somebody, my God, somebody, show me how to take this and turn it over into a place where the blind see and the lame walk and the deaf hear. Oh, my God, Pastor, you ought to hear this guy. He's fantastic. He's incredible. He's got some revelation. My God, he'll turn a crowd on and cause them to just absolutely turn on their head. That's wonderful. But after he gets done, does he stand up there and then allow them to bring the blind and the lame and the sick and the halt? Well, are you doing it? Well, not in fullness as of yet. But one thing I won't do, and maybe they won't, maybe they're that way as well. I'm just saying where you better be careful of how you look at people. And what disposition? Because I can tell you this. If this revelation can't be backed up with power, it's just like everything else. It's benign. It's like Gary talking about the scientists will create the formula for the invention, but the engineer actually takes it and turns it into a toaster. I love your revelation. Now, okay. Oh, good revelation. Now, how can I take that and get my son or daughter absolutely healed? Because otherwise, I'll turn from that to another. Somebody. But then again, even when the revelation is perfect, it won't transform you until you go to a place where he's called us to go to, which is a place, come away with me. The transformation of where miracles takes place is not in this building. This ain't the place. Excuse me, ain't the place. It isn't the place. This isn't the place where the place of transformation is in that secret place where you take what you've heard and go away with him. The exchange. There's a stock exchange. God's got a God exchange. The exchange of revelation to where that it exchanges over into the transformation of miracles is in that place where you're sitting before him and worshiping him and meditating on the things that you've heard and seen in the Word and allowing the Holy Spirit to pray out the mysteries and transform inside of you, and something clicks from head to heart. And when it goes from head to heart, best revelation. Would you like another revelation? Yeah. Give me one, but please don't take away my time to go take and let this revelation incubate in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Again, how many different ways can you say pray? You ought to feel like you're a bunch of white coats. White coats. Yeah, you've already went through, some of you've already went through medical school. Now you've got your white coat. You're not a doctor yet, but at least you're getting to sit in and hear inside stuff. But you can't get there and do, you can't get there to do it unless you yourself are doing it. Nobody can take you there. Miss Barbara can't pray you there. She can pray you catch the fire to get there. Not one of you will ever be sovereignly ordained. Not one of you will ever be sovereignly ordained. Well, that's your job. No, no, it's my job to get a bunch of us to that place. Hallelujah. I have no idea where I was at. Probably halfway through. Thank you. But you must grow up. You must stop making excuses of why not to spend time earnest, not to spend earnest time in prayer, says the Spirit of the Lord. I wish I could see, but no, really I don't, and I'm glad you can't. The pop-ups. All the pop-ups. What? You know, like you're looking at a computer or and all the pop-ups. What wish? No, we don't need to see all each other's pop-ups. But there's a lot of pop-ups when he starts talking about prayer. And pop-ups are the excuses why I can't. Why? Well, this one, this one, this one. Many will say, I'm busy. You don't know the world that I live in. And the Lord says unto you, you've been the one who created that world. You've created your own busyness, and you've created a place beyond where you and I could sit down and resolve all things in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now I know. Now remember he started off talking like, I love you. I love you. And I love you. And I told you on my part, you're revivalist. So this is what revivalists hear. If you're going to prune your walk, then he's going to help you prune your walk. Then what did he say? He said this, that we create the world of busyness that we live in. We create it. We're the ones. And you know what? I'll tell you something you probably already know. You know, busyness is a wonderful escape from any ability the Holy Spirit has to come and convict you or change you. In other words, it's, how can I say it? It's a hiding place. If you just get real busy, you never have to face you. If you get real busy, you never have to look at you. You never have to look too close of, is this an excuse or is it not an excuse? So I'll just stay real busy. You can get real busy. Hey, listen, squeal on preachers. Let me squeal on preachers because I am one. Preachers will get real busy doing all kinds of administrative stuff. Why? Because they don't want to go in and face the man that needs to change. So if you can get a program going, if you can get all kinds of programs going in your church, if you can get a big youth program going, a singles program going, all kinds of programs, elderly program going, all kinds of programs going, if you can get them all going and get real busy and say, Pastor, how much do you pray? My God, why are you? I'm doing the Lord's work. I ain't got 30 minutes a day for anything else but to run hard for Jesus. No. No, you missed your call, because your call was the first thing that you were supposed to do at the beginning of every day is to spend several hours in His presence. Because we could care less about all that other stuff. My God, give me somebody that I can will my child in and say, can your program get this boy out of this wheelchair? And as long as you're fat and sassy and you're making a bunch of money and all your kids are healthy and you don't have much of a problem, it doesn't bother you so much. But I got something from the Lord a little bit last week. It was just a twinge. Some of you watching, or some of you may be in here. If you don't do the things now that you're hearing, it's going to come back to bite you. And I don't like to be overly dramatic. Like what? Like marriages are going to be put on the rocks 2 or 3 years from now? Hey, if I can do something today with my 10-year-old in staying in the Spirit, so when she's 16, she's not carrying another man's child out of wedlock, because I walked in the Spirit. Now, things happen even to the best of people that are praying. I understand that. But you can go around a whole lot of hell. It's like the guy said, I had the young me work for the old me. In other words, I put in as I was young and made my fortune, so when I'm old, I could sit back. That's the way it's really supposed to be. But people will put off. I'm never going to get old. Listen, your 5-year-old is going to be 15. Is there prayer in the home? That little argument that you have all the time with your wife or your husband, we'll just endure it. You'll endure it all right. You'll endure it all right. Until he's not praying and she's not praying and somebody comes along. Don't think I don't hear it a lot, but I don't tell you because you don't need to know. And somebody looks better over there. Oh, they're born again, Spirit filled. Listen. Play with fire, it'll come back. I don't mean to be so heavy. I'm just giving you the straight up. Hallelujah. You know what I wish? This is what I wish. And I wish, it's not a I wish upon a star. It's a real hope that I could get a bunch of you together, and that the non-praying person, like, the person that says, I pray, you know, every once in a while as I'm going to work, and that's wonderful. Thank God. At least you're not bound for hell. You're born again. But I'm trying to talk about a bunch of people that will spend time. I'd hope that it be that finding one among us would be like Bigfoot. They say Bigfoot exists, but I've never seen him. They say the skunk ape exists, but I don't know that. Wouldn't it be nice? Well, they say, you know, they say that there's people actually at the family prayer center that don't have a separate prayer life that could, but I don't think that exists. That's just a fable. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, I don't know that I... Listen, come on, wait a minute. I can't spend the hours. Listen, that's dated. If you expect me to cry with you, I can't... You spend hours. You make me feel bad. You condemn me. Oh, get over it. Grow up. Get over yourself. I'm not going to cry with you. Because he's tailor-made. He's just got down on one knee and said, you can, whatever time you can put in, but it's between you and I. I'll never have asked any of you, how many hours have you, not in 25 years. How much, give me a report. I don't do it. Not one time. But for you to say, that condemns me. Oh, come on. Come on, come on. That's dated.
Where are you from?
Right here. Listen. The truth is, every single one of us have that challenge to make. But you've been empowered, whether it's 15 minutes. The Holy Ghost is almost like a good car salesman, used car salesman. Can you give me 15? Or no, can you give me 2 hours? No, my God. Jesus. Can you, about one? Can you, no, my God. You're, my pastor talks that way and you're, I'm, let's cut it in half and I'll be satisfied with 30. Oh, God. You know I'm going to miss time on Facebook and blah, blah, blah. And I got stuff to do. And what's up? The guy, I love him. Give me 15. You know, that he's doing a good job. Can you give me 15? Can you give five in tongues and five in the word and five in worship? Can you give me? Hallelujah. Hey out there. Know this, says the Spirit of the Lord, that there comes a place in your life that elbow grease in the natural will not suffice. It will not take the place of the spiritual time that must be spent in my presence to preface and go in front of you and make your way straight. So doing more in the natural and working hard, many of you must know and establish this time for those things in your life that you're wanting to see happen. And he specifies your financial recovery takes place first in this place. Your recovery in life and all things rebuilding takes place in this place, says the Spirit of the Lord. The health of your marriage, the health of your body, the health of your life and going forth, and your children being raised in a home that is conducive for them to grow in the atmosphere. All things are prefaced in this place. Oh, but I'm in him. I know him. I'm born again, you will say inside you. But oh, the life of Christ in you is being squeezed out daily by your busyness in the world. And I say unto you again, my love for you and my mercy has not changed. But I'm saying, judge yourselves on the grounds of whether or not you'd like me to be able to come and lavish my love on you and guarantee for you a future that is absolutely bright, restored, renewed, and continually on a continual basis, says the Spirit of the Lord. Now, elbow grease is just human effort. Okay. There comes a time. Now, when you've fallen in the creek, let's not pray. Let's jump in and get them out. Okay, they're drowning. I'm going to pray. No, 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 no. The house is on fire. Let's pray. No, no, no. Get some water and put it out. But then there comes a time, even when the work's not done, you got to put the hammer down and go back in and pray and pick up the hammer and pray and pick up the hammer and pray. If you're in the creek and going down for the first time, I'm going to jump in there. You're going to get your prayer time in? I don't know. The job present tense is to get them out from drowning. That may last just a little bit, but boy, you better put that hammer down and go back into prayer. Because your whole life depends on it. Your whole life depends on it. Well, I'm going to make a bunch of money for my family. I'm going to work hard. That's my job. Your job is to be to pray. Well, I can't be like you, Pastor. Can you give me one? Nope. Can you give me 30? Nope. Can you give me 15? Wish I had a chair I could detach. What are you talking about? I'm not talking about. You stupid idiot, you cut me off. That'll keep you saved. I'm talking about sitting your behind down in a place where this becomes pregnant to you. Beyond theory. That was a great revelation. Good for the revelation. Now let's turn it into something. Can I get an amen? It happens in prayer. Hallelujah. Well, are all those people that are not praying going, oh my God, how many times can I tell you? If you don't pray, as long as you don't go to the bars, get hooked up back in the bars. Do you understand? More, I heard him say this again, more elbow grease in the natural will not replace the time you must spend in my presence, says the Lord. I've called you. I've not called you as an individual in the workplace to spend the hours that your pastor does. Okay, here he goes. Or other leaders or elders. Nevertheless, that does not exempt you with an excuse to say, I cannot do this. Your armament against satanic warfare is put on in this place. It is your strength and renewal, your mind to go through, and to stop the enemy before he's ever able to launch the attack against you. Do not vacillate and be one that's back and forth, but stand your ground. Stand your ground. I'll not ask more of you than you can give, says the Spirit of the Lord. But you must reconcile this in your heart and stand in a place of humility and say, yes, Lord, I can do this and I will do this. Because know this, my children, I have you on my heart, every request and every nudge as a father to have you to spend time with me is always for your benefit, your happiness, your prosperity, the healing of your body and marriage and everything that is involved in this life, says the Spirit of the Lord. He's after you and I to go to a place. Now that's me speaking, discerning this prophecy. You can do this, he says. You can do this. Oh, there are pitfalls. There are pitfalls that he's the enemy, designed for each one of you. Many of you will go around them and step over them because you'll see clearly before you ever get there. And some of you listening and in this place and watching will step right over into the pitfall and you'll say, why? My God, why? Why did this come upon me? How did this happen? And I, as a father, now here's his love, I'll pick you up and dust you off and send you down the road again. But I'll remind you that I have almost begged of you to slow down enough to have a place of devoted prayer, says the Spirit of the Lord. I cannot replace what I can get over to you in those times by your daily going forward. This has no question on your place of heaven and hell. You're always ready to see me and knowing me in your born again spirit. But your born again spirit does not replace time spent with me. It will not inform you. It will not guide you. It will not lead you in the direction of those things in which only I, through my Spirit, can direct you as you engage with me on a continual basis as the Spirit of the Lord. Happiness is in this place. Prosperity of mind and marriage is in this place. Everything that you could possibly want is in this place. Neglecting it and finding every excuse why not is the certainty of a life filled with ups and downs, ins and out. Let me say this. Everything that we teach, like as in the four limbs, the prayer, word, worship, and fasting, word containing meditation and confession, and then the other two limbs, which I would say is waiting on God and co-laboring with the Holy Spirit. Everything that we teach is absolutely necessary. Revival cannot be had without every key. To live a total successful Christian life, you must have every one of them. Let me stop. I'm going to say something that sounds almost blasphemous, but I can back it up by the word. It's easy. It's just, you'll know once you understand or once you think. The born again spirit that you received in Christ the day you're born again is not enough for you to come to the fullness of the stature in Christ. That alone is not enough. It's not enough. If it was enough, he would not have given us the Word of God. You must have the Word of God along with the born. Why give us a canon of Scripture? Why not just send Jesus in the earth, crucify him, and tell the world, you must be born again, believe on me. There had to be a canon of Scripture to go along with the born again spirit. The born again spirit's not enough. It's not enough. I can get everything through the born again experience or the born again spirit. No, you can't. It's not enough. That's why he left. Listen, the born again, you can't say enough about how wonderful this is that we've received. It's changed us from darkness to light. But when I lay my hands on somebody and they get healed, it's not my spirit that came up through my body and went through my hands. Your spirit doesn't ever leave your body. If they get healed, it's another spirit. It's called the Holy Spirit that has to come up from you or is with you and heals them. Your spirit could never, your born again spirit can't get people healed. It takes somebody else called the Holy Ghost. Your born again spirit was not enough. You needed more. You had to have more. Your born again spirit won't tell you. Dave said it's moral, but it's not statistical. It won't tell you go here, go there, go. You have to have a leadership of the Holy Spirit. You're not born again with all knowledge. You have to have a teacher. If you didn't have a teacher, how would you ever know true spiritual revelation? Well, I get this out of it. My God. My God. I can tell you've not been spending time with the teacher. Because intellect alone won't teach you. You can't trust your intellect. Well, Pastor, I thought the born again was all... No. Born again's not enough. Born again spirit's not enough. You can't come to the fullness of the stature of Christ alone with the born again spirit. You got to have the Word of God. But I got to tell you something else. The Word of God. Oh my. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Word will remain. This is going to sound like blasphemy, but it's not. Just the written Scripture alone was not enough to bring you to the perfection of Christ in you and the fullness of the stature. Then why did He give the Holy Ghost? Why did He give the Holy Ghost? You had to have a Holy Ghost to come. Your born again spirit wasn't enough. The Word of God wasn't enough to bring forth the total perfecting of Christ in you, to bring you to the full stature where you walk in 100%. He sent a helper. Now I'm going to hide behind this, because many Bibles are going to be thrown. Praying in tongues and the Holy Ghost as baptism, as praying in tongues. That was not enough. That wasn't enough. If that would have been enough, He'd have stopped it right there. The fullness, if you want to walk in the fullness of Christ in you, to get people out of wheelchairs all the time, have a revival, see a region won, that precious one that we call the Holy Ghost, who is the greatest friend in my life, is the intimate partner that I spend, His tongues. Now God is enough. And He's God. But I'm talking specifically that particular avenue of praying in tongues. That wasn't in itself, even coupled with the Word, the Scripture, like quoting the Scripture, wasn't enough. And the born again spirit wasn't enough to come to the... Can you believe that He would say this? That as long as you're in this body, now I'm paraphrasing, as long as you're in this body, as long as you're in this body, my disciples, if they're going to come to the fullness, there's no escaping it. No way around it, no pray. You can't pray enough hours in the Holy Ghost. You can't know enough of the Word of God to bypass it. If you're going to come to a place where you're truly an exact replica of me as my disciple, my disciples, when I'm gone, will fast. I'm going to pray. Pastor, I'm going to pray in tongues. I'm going to know all the Word that I'm going to quote every Scripture. And I'm born again. But I'm going to tell you something. If we didn't need it, He wouldn't have told us. If it was not a necessity for us to walk in the fullness, He would not have told us when they asked Him. John's disciples came, and the Pharisees came, and they said, We fast often, but your disciples, Matthew 9, they we don't ever see them fasting. All they do is look like a bunch of 2020 year 2020 Christians. All they do is feast all the time and talk about the truths of the reality of the Word of God. Jesus said, no, while I'm here, I can't hardly even ask Him to do that, because my glory is on them. I'm the bridegroom. But when the bridegroom is gone, then my disciples will fast. They will fast. And then He told them why. It was almost like He jumped tracks. He said, "They're at, why? Why don't your disciples fast? And he said, because I'm with them. But when I'm gone, they will, if they're a full-blown disciple, not if they're born again or not born again, but if they're a full-blown disciple, they will have a lifestyle of fasting. Pastor, it's going into the holidays. Don't talk about fasting. Wait a minute. I know we term January, February, season. There's no such thing. It's a lifestyle. There's no place in the Word of God that says January, February is the beginning of fasting. No, it's a lifestyle. And he said they will, but then he didn't just say it like they need to blatantly do it. He said no man would think about taking a new piece of fabric, now I'm paraphrasing, and sewing it on an old garment. Lest doing that would make the rent worse. In other words, the new has got all of the strength of the fiber. And if you put it in on the old that has already stretched, I've got shirts. I'm glad you don't see them. Candy's like, why don't you throw them away? T-shirts that I work out in and stuff. You can tell the heads or tails of a dime probably. They're wore out. The fiber is gone. It's gone. If you put something in the new on there, it's gonna tear it immediately. Jesus said, you don't pour new wine into an old wineskin. Why? Because the old wineskin has already, the elasticity of it has already expanded through time. You know, wine, you pour it in there, it fumigates all those gases, and it pushes that wine bottle out to where it's, you know, the wineskin to where it's just about to pop. Well, then you put new, if you put new in there, it is going to pop it. Because it's expanded as far as what he's saying is. You wouldn't think of doing that. So he's saying, hey, God had a plan to put the new wine of the new nature inside of you and life. And then the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you still live in a body that can still sin. Have you noticed you can go on a good fast, 2 or 3 days, or have some extra time spending in prayer. You feel good and you feel, oh man, husband says something bad and you're like, oh, it's okay. Wife says something bad. Co-worker says something bad. You're like, oh, man, they didn't mean it. If they did, it's okay. I don't care. You're prayed up. You're feeling good. But you've got something you're living in. Your spirit's living in a body. And this body will never, ever of itself be sanctified. You can sanctify it by the power of the new nature, but it's not changed. It still has the motions of sin living in it. Go 2 or 3 weeks. No, don't do that. Go a week without prayer and without the Word. And that same somebody that said something, I'll fight you right now. Attitudes. Ambitions. What I'm saying is the flesh. It doesn't matter how you kill it right down. Well, I went on a 40-day fast. I killed all my flesh. It'll grow back in a week or two. Don't worry about it. If you leave it alone, it'll just grow right back. Just don't do anything. You don't even have to go to bars or look at pornography. Just don't pray anymore. Just don't worship, and it'll just grow back on its own. You have to keep that sucker dead. And the way that you do, Jesus said, if you want to go into the fullness of being my disciple, being what? Raise the dead, heal the sick. You will keep that flesh under subjection. So it's like, your body is like the wineskin. I'm pouring in all this anointing, and it'll be like if fasting has an effect on your body, like as if you went and bought a new wineskin to pour all of this anointing and all this glory in. You can fill it up. And it can walk in the fullness of Christ. It can raise the dead, heal the sick, and cast out devils. But listen. Tongues wasn't enough. Word wasn't enough. We need them all.
or else he would not have given them to us. We have to go to the fullness. We have to spend time. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Well, I know we're going to have this outpouring. There's a lot of people out there standing in the gap with us and going forward. And there again, there's so many different ways to fast if you want to. It's like the pop-ups. When anybody starts to pack, anybody like me starts running their mouth on fasting. What about my medicine? What about my this? What about, there's tailor ways to do everything. He's got a tailor way to do everything. Get rid of the pop-ups, the excuses. Hallelujah. I love you. Maybe that's how he said it, I love you, and then he started on us. Hallelujah. Let's all stand. We'll have another teaching tonight. I think this is the 10th one. It'll probably be the final one, maybe. We'll see. And come out and be part of it. And it won't be long, in a couple, a few weeks. Maybe we'll be breaking for a while just during the holidays. So come out and support Sunday night. Did you grow? Hallelujah. Did you grow this morning? Hallelujah. Father, we worship you. We glorify you, and we praise you, and we magnify you. Harry, give us something to go out of here worshiping with. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glorify you. Hallelujah, Jesus. I exalt you, Jesus. Just a little bit more as we close. We glorify you, Jesus. For the promise of the coming into the fullness of Christ, which is the hope of glory and baptism of the presence of God over a region that you've given us. So we bless you, Father. We give you all the praise and glory. Bring us back to this house tonight according to your will and grace. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you.